If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to A Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I am joined by my very good friend, Frank Elasia, the legendary basketball star from St. John's University. Hey, Frank, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Deacon John. How's everything?
Everything is great. We are talking tonight about forgiveness, an essential part of our Christian life. The Lord himself in the Our Father says that we should ask, forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So it's a very important part of everything that we do. And I guess it's helpful to begin to learn how to bury the hatchet with those we're in dispute with. How do you bury the hatchet, Frank?
You know, it's an old expression, but when you really think about it, I think you don't bury the hatchet. Because when you bury the hatchet, there's a tendency to go and want and dig it up. I think a better idea is to throw it off a jetty into the ocean or throw it into a lake where you can't find it. This way you can't dig it up. An example of people who want to dig it up, you know, the ones who say, I forgive, but I don't forget. That's not what Jesus had in mind when he said, you know, we must forgive from the heart. What do you say to someone who has hurt you and doesn't apologize? Like, how do you forgive them? Do you forgive them?
Well, that's interesting. I guess that sounds like we're putting a condition on our forgiveness. Unless you apologize to me, I'm going to withhold my forgiveness. When Peter said to the Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times? He said, no, not seven times, 77 times. And so there's this constant need to always cleanse the heart of any kind of grudge or bad feeling or anger, and to continue the idea of forgiving, whether or not someone apologizes to you or is even aware of their offense to you. But I guess we got to work at it. It's something like anything else. I mean, what are some of the keys to forgiveness?
Well, I think number one, not to wish ill to the person. I think that's very important. Be polite to the person as best you can and pray for the person. And if you can't forgive them, pray to Jesus and the Blessed Mother and ask them to help you forgive that person. I mean, it's not that you have to be best friends with the person, but it's a good idea to do that, especially when it's tough, because there's all kinds of forgiveness. There's like different levels, you know, deep hurts, slights. And I realize that it's not the easiest thing in the world, especially if you've been deeply hurt.
Very hard.
Christian forgiveness isn't meant to be a religious concept. It's meant to be a way of life. And when somebody once told me, if you hurt somebody, apologize to them 10 times. If they apologize to you, make an excuse for them. It's a bad day. You know, the weather wasn't right. They didn't mean it that way. You know, you're taking it the wrong way. And I think that's a good way to be, because you have to remember, in the end, God's going to ask you how you react, what you did, not what the other person did. The onus is on them as far as that goes. You're just supposed to do the right thing, and that is to forgive. You know, we hear in the parables, there's many sightings of forgiveness in the Bible, right? Jesus constantly talks about it. We have the unforgiving servant. Mary Magdalene, St. Peter, 70 times 7, right? The prodigal son is one that we hear about a lot. And I always kind of look at the second son. The first son, we know what happened there. He came back and the father forgave him and all was good. But what was wrong with the way the older brother acted?
Well, you know, that's a character in the story that many of us end up identifying with. He forgot where he was. The father says to him, my son, you are with me always. Everything I have is yours. But it is right for us to celebrate because your brother was lost and now he's found. And so I think we Catholics who are practicing in our faith are like that son. We're the ones who have the faith. We receive the sacraments. We are in Christ, if you want to give it that expression.
Right.
And so we're called to to align ourselves with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and his divine mercy, and extend to others the idea of forgiveness.
It's like unburdening, right? I mean, when you do forgive somebody, isn't it like a big weight off your shoulders?
Because it's unhealthy to carry that stuff around. Right. We know people that in our Italian families who have held grudges and held on to anger for 15 years, and they can't remember what it was about when it's all over. Right. And I mean, does it do the person to carry that stuff around? It's bad for you.
That's right. I mean, I've been unforgiving. I mean, I know what that's like, and it eats at you. You can't live with that over your head all the time, you know. So just get it out, do it, and forget about it.
Well, what if somebody says to you, "Hey, I'm sorry if I've offended you"?
Well, the problem with that apology is the word "if." When somebody's apologizing to you, they have offended you. That's why they're apologizing. So I hate, you know, when people make excuses. Don't ruin an apology with an excuse. If you've done something wrong, admit it. Ask for forgiveness. But don't try to kind of weasel your way out of it or make excuses of why you acted that way or this way. I just think it's kind of a politician's way of apologizing. You know, you hear it a lot on TV when people say stuff like that, you know.
But you remind me of a more pure version of apology. In the 12 steps, the Alcoholics Anonymous 12 steps, I think there are one or two steps in there which say you have to go back to the people that you have hurt or offended and try to make reparations. Say you are sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you and did these things, and I'd like to make it up to you. Now, the person may say, no, that would cause more harm than good, and you got to back away. But the AA person is asking for forgiveness, or at least saying he's sorry, without expecting or needing to ultimately be forgiven by that person.
That's right. They're doing the right thing. They're putting the onus on the other person. How the other person reacts is their business. But the point is, how many times, you know, who do you want to be around? The person who is forgiving or the person who is unforgiving? Usually the person who's forgiving is a kind, understanding, compassionate person. Usually the person who doesn't, it's kind of a hard person who always thinks they're right. And that's not the kind of person that you want to be around.
Well, so the person that you are around all the time is your wife.
Exactly.
And you better be forgiving if you want to have a successful marriage. Am I right?
That's exactly right. And you had the story about Phil Rizzuto with his wife.
Well, every night he would say, Cora and I never go to bed angry. And I used to be jealous of Phil and say, how the heck does he do that? He's able to be married for 90 years and, he's never goes to bed angry, but it was a good example for him to set for other people.
It's a goal, but let's face it. You know, if you are married, you are going to go to bed mad. I'll guarantee you that. Like that's one of the things.
Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your anger.
I get it. But sometimes, like, as I said, we do that. But the most important thing is, I feel, and Marie and I, you know, do it, you know, whenever something like that happens, which isn't frequently, but when it does,
right,
we're the first to apologize. Wake up in the morning, I apologize, she apologized, I apologize. But that's the important thing. Don't hold that in that relationship, because that's the most important relationship with your wife, you know, and you have to have, that has to be right for everything else to go.
Right.
What do you say to people who can't forgive themselves? There's a lot of that going on, right? People are so upset with themselves, and, you know, what do you say?
Isn't that the saddest condition to be in, a person who just cannot forgive themselves? There's that story that Fulton Sheen told, that a woman came to him and said, Bishop, I have committed the worst possible sin any person could commit. And he said, no, you haven't. She said, how do you know? He said, because the person who has committed the worst possible sin doesn't know it. And I think that's part of it. This is the recognition of an offense against God. I have offended you, God. That's why I'm hurt. I think that's the beginning of the opportunity to forgive one's self. But it's an inmost
form of pride, right? It's a form of pride when you don't forgive yourself. How could I do that? How could I do that? Man's fallen. We're all sinners. And you have to realize that. you know, you're capable of sinning, you know, all the time. Hopefully not, but when you do something wrong, admit it. You know, Coach Connor Secker, it was funny, he used to say, never look at your hands when a ball goes through your hands, as if like, how did you betray me? How could this happen? I missed the pass. You never ever do that. And it's the same thing in a spiritual life. We're all fallen. So no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven, especially with our sacrament of confession in the church. But go to the people and own up to what you've done. And
this person who can't forgive himself or herself, that's a right. really hard one. That's way in there. And I think for that person, we would say, you know, start with the whole idea of our faith. We believe in God and in his son, Jesus Christ. And that demands a lot of us. It reorders the way we live and the way we think. It seems impossible that God could have become man and come into this world and healed us and saved us and loved us. But that's our faith. And so we have to believe that he came into the world not to condemn, but that the world and we, all of us, would be saved through him. And he would free us from sin. But I think to do that, you have to begin to just let go and let God. Frank, what's your final thought on this?
My final thought, there's two thoughts. Sister Faustina said it beautiful from the Divine Mercy. Yes. She said, we resemble God most when we forgive our neighbors. And isn't that true? And my last thought is, on Judgment Day, there's mercy and justice. Now, we hear a lot about justice today, you know, these days, justice, I want justice, I want justice. I want mercy. If I could say one thing at judgment, and I don't know, I'm probably not gonna be able to say anything, but I would say mercy.
And that's amen, it. Brother.
Yeah. Yes.
That sounds good. Thank you for listening and thank you for being part of it. You can reach us at john@jc.training. That's john@jc.training. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your time, Frank. Good to see you again, my brother. I'll see you next time.
You got it, Deacon John. Take care.
God bless.